Good morning. I'm Mark Allen with Gaper.io, and I'm here today with Mike Benzikin. I think I got that right, didn't I?
You got it perfectly.
You're great. And I think it's, if I'm not mistaken, it's afternoon where you are now, right? So good afternoon.
Yes, Eastern time, 3 hours plus 3 over here. And yeah, it's about the same time as you. We're close, both in the States, different coasts.
Well, yeah, I'm on the left coast. You're on the right coast. So I think the East Coast. You're in New York, correct?
Yeah, well, I'm actually, so as we speak, I'm looking at downtown Manhattan. I'm on the New Jersey side of the Hudson. So, you know, the city's always most beautiful from across the Hudson. This is what we say.
Yes. Well, so, and you're the president of founder of the Citizen Warrior Foundation. And that is such a, that can go in so many ways. So why don't you tell us what the Citizen Warrior Foundation is all about?
So let me do that, but let me just kind of bring you up to its inception. And actually, okay. I think that would really kind of paint a good picture. So I started off, I've evolved from college, behavioral neuroscience, that was my shtick. Then I realized I didn't want to do the medicine thing because that just seemed like a suck of time and money. And it's like, no, I'm not going to do it. So then I'm like, okay, well, I'll pursue business. And then you start with sales. This is how you start with business. Then you work up, you understand operations, and you climb your way up the hierarchy. So then I eventually ended up as chair CEO of a life science multinational SMB. Had a few hundred employees across the world. We did OEM, manufacturing, medical device stuff, worked with some of the big supranationals on disaster relief and economic development, all these things. And then during that time, I got to develop a relationship with some of the people on the Hill. The head people of these programs, I mean, like the serious players, and they confided in me, and because we both came to the same conclusions, which is funny. I don't know who mentioned it first, but we both determined that roughly, if you assume soft margin, 15% round, you know, round numbers, they said 35% of every dollar that goes in USA, which is 1% of US GDP, quite a bit of money.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes towards foreign disaster relief, and that goes towards economic development, which should be temporary, right? But it tends to drag, right? So this is what goes overseas. 35% on every dollar is received in the form of goods and services by the intended recipient. So assuming everything is kosher and the intended recipient, they're suffering meaninglessly, and that these goods and these services are meant to alleviate that suffering, that means assuming this 15 points put on, because it's NGO, it's nonprofit, right? Like you want... You know, you're not in it to max out your profit margin. We still want to be competitive, but also you're not giving them the worse or good. So there's two tiers. Sometimes they give them the high, low quality. So this is nonsense, you know. So no, we just shot them straight, our same line, and we both determined like, wow. So effectively, at a 15% round number, 15% margin, profit margin, we could double the amount of people we help, or half the amount of the tax burden to the public. So it says, all right, interesting. So then this is right around the time. So this is when he confides in me. We came up with a 25 cents on every dollar. He said 35 cents, so I'll take his word for it. So then at this time, this was when the Uyghur news came out, coming out of China.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a lot of close personal friends. I mean, met through business, but they became almost like brothers. And we can talk about that later when it comes to VC funding, building companies, the difference between a friend, an associate, and a brother. And these things are very different. I'm not talking blood brother. I found out about that. And I was just, you know, okay, so we're cool with this now? We're cool with this? We got to change our supply chain. So I looked at all the products. There's 135 factories we did contract manufacturing out of, private label brand, designed in the US, developed there, and then shipped worldwide. So I said, okay, you know what? We're moving it out. So we crunched down our product list. What are the core products? What are the core customers? So on and so forth. And we found viable solutions. We actually brought down product costs, landed costs in our primary markets by roughly, I mean, you're not even going to believe this because you can build a business on this, 15 to 20%. Wow. So just playing like this ping pong logistics with, you know, all these type of things. So I wanted out of China. The other board members didn't agree. We had a dispute that could not be reconciled. And so I said, okay, I'm out. I'm done because I'm not going to do something that I don't feel right about. So I'm out. I sold my position. That took a while. That took like 18 months. It's back and forth. Blah, 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 blah. Valuation, which I'm sure we can get into when it comes to these young guys in their startups, right? So understand that inside out, you know, how valuations work and how dispute resolution could work or could not work and who you should surround yourself with, who you shouldn't. So hopefully we can talk about startup companies, especially in the tech Web3 space. I think that'd be great. So then I realized, okay, what can I do next? Well, I can't go to the government and say, hey, guys, why don't we put you guys on the blockchain? So all the taxpayer funds that go overseas, everyone can track it. And then people will want to do more because you get to see then through, let's say, a Web3 identity, which is a type of NFT. It's a utility NFT. So it's essentially writing to the blockchain your personhood or whatever you, let's say, volunteer your personhood to. And you can curate it. So you don't have to put everything. Yeah, you have stuff off chain. That's your personal stuff. And that's fine. And that's how it should be. But the stuff that you put on, people know when they see. So they say this program happened. So let me give you a good example. What happened in Haiti, which was devastating. It was a big earthquake. And the emergency response was so flaccid and impotent, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was just mass devastation. And we could get into that, but that's kind of dark. So I'm going to stay away from it. But to say that we could have done so much better and that there's a way to do it. And then there's a way for us to want to engage internationally through soft diplomacy, because we have this unique position given the way our currency is a reserve currency in the world. And so we're stewards, you know, us as Americans ought conceive ourselves or perceive ourselves as stewards of this very interconnected web,
mm-hmm.
be it finance, be it what have you, even culture. Right, even culture.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think that we've forgotten that a little bit. And I do see some promise. But anyway, that was not going to happen. Okay, they were not going to be like, oh yeah, sure, let's throw it all on the blockchain. So there's 50%, these 50 cents on every dollar, you know, can be retained. Yeah, that's a great idea. Let's do it. Yeah, that's not going to happen. So I said, okay. Next step was information distribution. So Web2 is a walled garden. You can't put it on your balance sheet. Because you say something that they like, it doesn't align with some kind of pathological ideology that they've convinced themselves of. And this is a problem that's happening, is this sort of separate and create opposition when it doesn't exist, mind you. This is lab is a fabrication. Some of it is real.
Mm-hmm.
Much of it is fabrication. Decentralized media apparatus, which is what we're working on outside of the foundation. Because there has to be a means whereby we can pseudo-anonymously, that means that it's a curated reputation tracker, if you will, not a credit system, right? Very different. That allows people to assess truth on what's newsworthy through sort of a democratized, transparent setting. Of course, you have to operationalize truth. We can talk about that forever. You have to operationalize reputation. We can talk about that forever. Putting that aside, the technology exists. We're assembling it, and we're doing it in a way which I'll echo to you, if we talk about what the best way other guys should go about doing it, is to do it. So that took us up to Citizen Warrior Foundation. So I'm sorry that took long.
Mm-hmm. No problem at all. It's fascinating.
The progression is sort of, it makes sense.
Yes. Yeah. So let's say, what are your plans for the rest of 2022? I mean, it sounds like you've got a lot going on.
Well, so we've temporarily suspended development on Citizen, Decent Media. We've done that because what just happened recently, earlier this summer, was you had three major lending custodial platform centralized applications that filed for Chapter 11. You had Voyager, Vold, and Celsius Network. And our focus is on Celsius Network. And our first funded program, which we're going to be releasing on the 28th of September, and there's all this buildup and stuff to that, so it's going to be really cool, is on effectively showing how this happened. How did we come to this point? Because what's happening right now, just crazy for your listeners to know, is that you have people who put their life savings, I'm talking working middle-class Americans, mm-hmm. let's just focus on our neighbors right now, right? Our brothers and sisters, right? Mm-hmm. And then I'm not even to mention across the world, the people who are really suffering meaninglessly as a result of this. They restricted deposits. They did that so they would avoid insolvency. Great. That's great. Okay. So they avoided insolvency, but they've still restricted deposits. Trying to figure out what's going on behind the scenes. So we are very lucky in that we have very good intel. So we know what happened in the market, what led to this huge spike to about, I think it was like 2.7 trillion at its peak, apex roughly around that. And then it's rapid $1.7 trillion, rough numbers, maybe 1.5, decline. So they established high basis price and their Bitcoin and this and that, and they got liquidated, and then their balance sheet went into the red, and now they're trying to restructure. So then there's that story. We're breaking with that story, in effect. We're showing the proof. Like, remember geometry class? We're showing the proof with blockchain analysis. And then the other part is, well, okay, we know how it happened. We want to flush out the bad actors in Web3 DeFi, which is the financial portion of Web3. It's like, If we don't, as people who by this type of space, if we don't self-police it, then what are we asking? We ask for other people to police it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just the response from influencers or whatever, right, is so, again, lacking. I'll just be nice.
Mm-hmm.
That we're just setting it up for regulation to come in and stifle innovation. And so there needs to be consumer protections, but the consumer protection protocols that exist.
Mm-hmm.
Right? These are smart contracts are self-executing. So it's like, we need to be smart, and we haven't been. So it's about time, no matter the ridicule, because people are going to poo-poo anything meaningful. This is how the world works. But there are macros that are going on that even the UN are predicting is not going to be that great, especially for the global South. We'll be somewhat incubated in the US, not really, but somewhat. Europe's going to get it much worse. Okay, this is coming in the fall of 22. So what's happening in the fall of 22? We are preparing for that. We're bringing people together who are impassioned, and we are going to reveal to the public what happened. And it's very important that we do. So then hopefully we can establish alliances with people like, or organizations such as your own, who do remote hiring, which is very important. Because in the US, it's very hard to start anything, mm-hmm. unless you're a capital flush,
right?
You know? Yeah. And then also to mitigate what we believe is, or what we know, but we have to prove through lawful means, it's happening behind the scenes in under these Chapter 11 proceedings. You know, so I say our confidence in our knowledge in that is roughly 70%.
Mm-hmm.
We won't be happy until it's, yeah, it's, you know, until we can commit to it. So
mm-hmm.
we don't believe in promising twice. We believe in doing once. Mm-hmm. So we've taken our time, we're prudent, and you can expect that in fall of 22.
Yeah, wow. So it sounds like you're coming in where the major networks or the major media sources are, they're giving a story that other people want to give instead of the story that's true. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. So, I mean, I've interviewed with CNBC,
mm-hmm.
discussing the relief effort. So, I mean, 2 days after this happened, the restrictions,
mm-hmm.
I said, okay, we're suspending dissent media and we are focusing on this, because it was just like this. All your money's in there. Now you have no money. What are you going to do?
Right.
What are you going to do? How are you going to pay your mortgage? How are you going to feed your kids? What are you going to mm-hmm. do? Right? And, you know, it's insane to me. Anyway, so I'm sorry. I got angry for a second and I short-circuited my thinking. So can you please remind me what you said, please?
Well, I'm just talking about the major media that.
Yes. You know, okay.
It's you're bad. You're bad. You're bad. You're bad. As opposed to what's really going on.
Well, so, I mean, all they did was simply say what was public information, mm-hmm. and that created fear. And the market continued to draw down, which mm-hmm. essentially made these companies that were already where the balance sheets were in the red go further in the red, or make it higher, harder rather, to attract additional capital to pull out. So here we are talking about how we know it happened, how we can prevent it from happening again, and all these things. This is before we knew what's happening, because they didn't file yet, right? This is before that. And so they took the interview. They asked me on the spot, like, 10 seconds to prepare. I'm like, fine, let me throw this on. And I'm like, okay, this was solid. Now people are really going to know what we're doing, and we're going to do it, and we're going to do it together. It's going to be fantastic. They canned it. They ghosted us.
Mm.
And yeah, never hit the air. And you know what? So be it, right? So be it. And even since then, everyone is very suspicious of each other right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just the divide that we see ourselves in America. It's more than that. It's like an extreme atomization that's happened based on these custodial guys just sort of, I mean, just taking everyone's crap and selling it, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say. So it's hard to build a cohesive unit of the most capable, which is very important.
Mm-hmm.
To, let's say, before it's too late, to stop what we know to be an economic injustice about to happen. It's imminent, but the amount of time it takes, there's no way to tell.
Wow. So that's a lot to take in in a short podcast. So, and you also, I mean, you also have a VC component to the foundation, correct? So,
so the VC stuff I've done outside the foundation.
Okay.
And it was more, so I've done my personal stuff, but it was more for others and telling others, you know, this is how you should do it. So when they have friends, or then someone that I'm mentoring, or someone that did like an executive coach type thing. So there's 2 year window between when I left as chair and CEO, and then when I got into Decent Media. And that the time I learned about the emerging tech space, and I took a bunch of people in who I realized like didn't learn. I mean, so people aren't really taught anything that is, I say, pragmatic or practical, or like, you know, financial personal management or networking, or how to tap into like their endocrine systems, their the internal hormonal, you know, systems to get the most out of themselves and to self-actualize. They just don't. I just have a few things here that I just wanted to make sure I did touch on. Was that right? Talking about VCs, right? That's the direction. So there's a few things. People should realize that what are VCs looking for? They're looking to back the right horse. So what's the right horse? It's the package. Mm-hmm. The package is the cohesive and capability of the team. So then they're going to profile the team. So you're looking at usually 2-3 developers, but there's not a biz dev guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem. That's a real problem, because the engineer will poo-poo the biz dev. The biz dev will poo-poo the engineer, because mm-hmm. the other kind of blindsided forgets that they need each other, which is a great sort of throwback, or not throwback, but parallels our society today. And the fact that we have one group of people who are very artistic and who they innovate everything. They really mm-hmm. innovate everything, because they're lateral thinkers, right? They think mm-hmm. across all these domains, but then they got to move on to the next thing, or else they're going to go nuts. Like,
mm-hmm.
And then you have these other people who are just slow, incremental, methodical, looking into the data, analytical, mm-hmm. and they're good on that, and they believe in hierarchical structure, while the others move across, right? So there's this been internal, let's say, necessity for coexistence, but more than that, it's thriving. Like, they both need each other to thrive. Mm-hmm. And so if a team is not composed of that, I'm going to call it yin and yang, but that has connotation to it, but the yin and the yang, yang and the yang, whatever it is, this composition, then it's not a team that's going to win, unless there's something amazingly innovative, right? Unless mm-hmm. it's a Peter Thiel, like, create your own market, and there's no other institutional competition with which you have to concern yourself with.
Right.
Right. And then, of course, there's the funding. So getting back into the VC, the funding thing is, yeah, build out the product as much you can with the money you can get. Establish a relationship with your local community
mm-hmm.
before you go online. Because online digital marketing is capital intensive, and also you can get your reputation wrecked online mm-hmm. through mob mentality. All you have is your virtue, your integrity, really. Mm-hmm. But when your integrity is put into reputation, it's subject to this Web 2 sort of mob rule, it can be wrecked. So you need a defensive line, mm-hmm. and that you can get by your local community, who can then come online. And that could be the, let's say, locus of where your expanding this grand idea from. And then the last piece is your advisors, is your mentors, right? So what is the potential impressions, if you look at it in Twitter terms or whatever, you know, just mm-hmm. terms that you can get just through your existing network. And if your advisors are also mentors, and also they have capital, and they're not going to try to rob you. I mean, you know, so be careful. There's good VCs, there's bad VCs, and there's terrible VCs.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, be very careful with giving up equity, because equity, in effect, until you decide otherwise, is forever, mm-hmm. right? And you see these guys that eventually they go public and they own like 0.8% of the company.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they become the figurehead because they're the brand. And then everything these other schmucks, if you don't mind me saying that, do behind the scenes, now falls on them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to say who, but we've seen that a bit. And we want to avoid that. So these guys got to look out for themselves, and they have to be prudent. Slower mm-hmm. is better. Understand how valuations work. Understand how to increase assets at a low capital cost. Understand that taking low capital risks are important, because failure is the are the stepping stones to success. And so if you don't learn to sort of impose meaningful suffering on yourself, like set yourself up for having to be agile and adjust mm-hmm. and put yourself up, right? If you're not ready for that, I mean, man, you're going to see a side of the world that your little incubated self have never seen before, and you're going to mm-hmm. get ripped apart, and then you're done.
Yeah.
Whatever you're doing, you're done. So yeah, you got to be formidable if you're going to be asking for external funding, and prudent.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. It's amazing the number of great ideas that have been out there, but without the right team or the right execution, never quite met. Like, you can go all the way back to Sony Betamax, right? That was a better technology, just not properly brought to market.
I mean, and then take it to the person, the innovator, right? Mm-hmm. Himself. So look at Nikola Tesla. Mm-hmm. You know, he died alone, poor, and desolate. I mean, living in really poor conditions.
Yes.
And it wasn't until years later until people realized how important he was. And he never integrated. So you're familiar, of course, the Jungian shadow. He never integrated it. He confused being nice mm-hmm. with being virtuous. Well, mm-hmm. being nice does not make you virtuous.
Right.
Being nice can make you a target to get mobbed, to get robbed on the street, let's say. Mm-hmm. Right? So integrate your shadow, know how to defend yourself, know how to really defend yourself. Mm-hmm. And then, as an integrated, mature person, use that to defend those who cannot yet. Mm-hmm. And then that's a way to establish yourself reputationally. But don't just walk around being a nice guy. No one wants a nice guy. Everyone wants a kind person who can, let's say, this is a Peterson thing, is that there's a death in the family and everyone gets tossed into chaos, that you set up the funeral and that you are the shoulder that everyone cries on. That's the man you want to be, or that's the formidable woman you want.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Just don't short yourself being the nice guy.
Right. Well, there is some truth to the fact that nice guys finish last. It's not always true, but I think what you mean is you have to have the good of everybody in mind, but you have to make the hard decisions too.
Well, so I differentiate nice and kind. So right. I think that you can be very kind, and I believe in being charitable and standing up for those who can't themselves.
Right. Yes.
But being nice is often an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I've seen. This is my observation. To not having to integrate the shadow, so you can be flattened by any force.
Mm-hmm.
And, then what happens? And the family. Let's say you have a family. Then what are they going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you're the sole breadwinner. You know. So right. No, it's like take it. You know, put aside this nice thing. Integrate the cattle. Become kind. And integrate the shadow. Become kind and be formidable. Mm-hmm. And then enter the world of where there are sharks. Right.
Where you mm-hmm. gotta yeah. They're out there. Well,
they are most certainly out there.
Yeah, we have a few minutes left. Why don't you just tell us where you see Citizens Warrior Foundation going in the next 5 to 10 years?
It's a long way out. So, but I can tell you.
All right, 2 to 3 years.
2 to 3 years is much better. I like 2 to 3 years because those are commitments I can kind of mention. So the idea is we're establishing affiliations around the world, with specifically, like, we want universities of good developers and people in biz dev, because we believe that technology is the future. Emergent tech is the future. Emergent tech is upstream from culture, and it's all about culture. Like, our quality of life, economics, everything, in the end of the day, will be an extraction somehow, one way or another, of culture. Mm-hmm. So we need to impact culture. We need to and we can only do that by building this formidable interconnected network of people who kind of agree to the same first principles and work towards a singular focus. And the focus is to allow these markets, this virtual free market, to flourish and to self-police it, right? So, but not in a central command way, because, you know, I, as a citizen, I cannot by fiat say, I'm going to shut you down because I don't like you. I mean, I can just tort, but, you know, that's it. I just can't. By dictating it, right? So it's like, we need to protect what we believe is the thing that will, in the end, lead to the best outcome for literally humanity. I mean, that's
for all,
that's for everybody. I mean, it doesn't matter.
For not a America, select few.
Yes, not a select few. Of course, yes, yes. I mean, to tap all this latent intellectual capital mm-hmm. that's around the world that will never self-actualize. I mean, imagine just that interconnectedness, and then the access to capital and to currency, you know, digital capital, human capital to partner. I mean, you need a few, and it only takes a few. And we want to be one of those few who just, even if we move the needle 1 degree or a half of a degree, if we inspire someone else and they do it and they move it all the way, fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
Fine with that. But someone's got to do something.
Right.
Someone's got to do something.
Yeah, something's got to give here, because there's just too much. Too many people getting hurt that shouldn't be getting hurt, and too few people reaping the benefits. I think that's what you're all about, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And especially when there's intent behind it, that's when it gets really, really, that's when I become, that's when I lose this, I try to be stoic if I can. That's when I lose that capability. When I realize that there's intent at times. You know, that has to be squashed out, and it has to be looked at it adversarial. We have to be able to say, this guy is good because what he's doing, his deeds are good. This guy is bad because his deeds are bad. And then we can impugn intent. Mm-hmm. Once maybe he tells him why he's doing it, right? Let's just say that. But before, no. Wait for the deed to come out. Wait for the deed before the people impugn.
Well, I'll tell you what. I am looking forward to, I think you said September 28th, right?
That's the launch date for Citizen Warrior Foundation, correct.
Cool. So then, and I can tell people, go to your website on September 28th and your first revelation will come out. Is that a good way to put it?
Yeah, we're going to drip that out just because we want it to be picked up by broadcast media. Mm-hmm. But if it doesn't, then we're just going to just dump it, quite frankly. Cool. Yeah.
Well, I wish you lots of luck. I you have the right intention in mind. I think you have the good of all in mind, as opposed to what other people are, and we have to stay somewhat apolitical here. but I wish you well, and hopefully we can do another one of these soon. Hopefully we can do something after September 28th, and see how it went. How's that sound?
Morgan, sounds great. I mean, I think what you guys are doing is necessary for innovation to occur right now, given the current state of how things are in the States. So yeah, I think that driving mutual traffic is a very good idea. Mm-hmm. Because these guys are looking to establish themselves, and there's so much intellectual capital out there. Mm-hmm. And you guys can connect them.
Yeah. So, well, have a great day, and thank you for your time today.
Thank you, sir. And I'll see you soon, I guess.
After 20 minutes.